Bless you, Mr. Aaron Johnson. Bless
thank
you.
Thank you. Thank you. Actually,
oh, you what? You got a little bit of Doritos up your nose?
I'm going to actually have to sneeze at some point here.
Oh, boy. Look at that. Well, welcome to another episode of Use Your Words podcast. My name is Paul, and I'm once again graced and joined by Mr. Aaron Johnson.
Yes.
Now that he has a shirt that is not molting.
Yeah.
The previous episode where we were recording, Aaron was at certain points picking on his shirt like a bird picks the feathers off of itself when it's molting.
It was coming undone.
Exactly like, what the bird says about the feathers and why it has to pick the feathers off of itself. So, but yes, it is once again another wonderful day in the year of 2021 in the first year of the wonderful presidency of Joe Biden.
Ew!
Yep, there we go.
Yeah.
And I know we're 2021. We're a little ways away from that, you know, time in November when all of us gloriously went to the polls. And I can't even say this myself without being like, no.
No.
Yeah.
You didn't enjoy going to the polls?
Well, no, I can't keep going. I can't keep going with the whole thing of we gloriously went to the polls and cast our vote for the glory that is Biden.
Yes. I was very shocked.
To hear that Josh voted for Biden?
Yeah. I don't know. I can't remember who he voted for.
I know he said he was tempted to.
Yeah. I can't remember. I think he voted for
Whoever he voted for.
The independent.
Yeah, and that's okay. I don't care.
No, it's whatever.
Vote for Biden, vote for Trump, vote for independent, vote for Texas. I don't care.
Texas. I personally voted for Harambe. I did not.
No comment.
I'm kidding. But I was very shocked that how quickly it went. Like for me to vote, get in and get out of voting, it was no time.
Well, that's not a surprise, actually.
Well,
and we'll talk about why I say that's not a surprise.
Oh, okay. Because I tried to go vote early.
Yeah.
And hearing about how some people waited a long time to go vote early. The day I went was the day that they had stopped allowing early voting. I was like, oh, of course. And then I went to go vote after work, which I was thinking after work, I was like, shoot, other people will be getting out probably and then going to vote as well. So I was like, this is going to suck. But no, it was a very in and out, very quick process, I guess, for this. Because I've had times for voting and it took
yeah, it takes a while to stand in line.
Yeah.
But that doesn't surprise me too much because people didn't want to spend a lot of time out and about with other people. Due to COVID. So.
Yeah, which, it was, I would say they had it fairly well set up. I think I made one of the people that were working there, I think I made their day. Because when I was, they gave you a pen or whatever to fill out. And they said, well, I was keep the pen. They didn't want you to give them the pen back, whatever. And so when I was going, I was going to give them the pen back. He said, oh, no, I was like, that's yours. I was like, because I thought it was just like one of those, it had the like rubber tip or whatever to use on a tablet or whatever.
Yeah.
And I didn't know it was an actual working pen. He said, no, yeah. He's like, it's an actual pen. So I like pressed the thing. And when I found out it was a real pen, I just did like, oh! And then he just started cracking up laughing because he thought I was so excited that I got a pen for free.
Yes, he thought you were so excited.
We'll
go with that.
I did probably make it seem like I was a lot more thrilled than I probably should have been, but
yep,
I got a free pen that day.
Yep, let's go with that. Let's go with that.
That was my voting experience. So, I mean, all in all, it was a good voting experience.
Yeah, it was very fast for me, too. Yeah. It wasn't any delay. I didn't get a fancy free pen, but that's okay. I lived. I didn't make anyone stay by screaming like a little girl. Yeah, I lived. Aww. And rip everyone's ears.
Sorry, my bad.
No, the compressor will take care of that and bring it down. True. But no, what I wanted to talk about today was an interesting article from February 4th of this year. And this article has gotten a lot of criticism. I would say mostly on the right side. Some people on the left are criticizing it because it quote unquote, brought to light some of the background workings of things that they wish weren't brought to light. Mm. Let's put it that way. Mm. And before you go, well, okay, so you're talking about an article, must be a conspiracy article.
Right.
This article is from Time, you know, the Time magazine. You know, it's kind of one of those respected news sources still, even though it's like I don't know if it's a weekly or monthly magazine, whatever, but they do a lot of stuff online. Mm-hmm. And so they wrote an article called The Secret History of the Shadow Campaign That Saved the 2020 Election. And you're like, oh, wow. The secret history of the Shadow Campaign.
It's quite the title.
It is quite the title. And, you know, it's interesting to look at the picture that they have at the top of the article. And you see, you know, the Capitol building.
Trump.
And you see, like, the sun coming up, shining bright light. And there's smiling Joe Biden sitting in front of it. And Trump is looking to the side all like.
And then there's lightning coming from.
And there's QAnon shaman and the Confederate flag and, you know, people in masks and raising their fists and champagne bottles and Biden flags and all this other stuff. And it's just like, okay, what the heck is going on? So what this article covers, and it's a relatively long article. So don't sit down and be like, oh, I'm going to read this in like 2 minutes. No, you're going to read this in like a good chunk of time because you got to kind of read it all the way through slowly to fully understand what's going on. And that's the hard part. And that's also the good part about it, I guess you could say. But I like how within three paragraphs, they say this sentence and it sets the whole frame for the entire document. And this sentence is this: in a way, Trump was right. And now in what way was Trump right? And here's the funny part. Okay. Just quoting this article is enough to get your tweet or your Facebook thing
taken down,
but labeled as flagged, or whatever. Flagged as false information about voting and may incite violence because it's talking about voter fraud and all that. And it's just like, hey, I'm quoting this article here that they talk about this. And there's some interesting things that are going on that just kind of, I mean, it gives me the chills a little bit on this. So for this, you know, what they're talking about, I think this sentence, I'm giving you direct quotes from the article. Okay. So that way no one can go, oh, you're manipulating things. I'm giving you direct quotes. Quote one. There was a conspiracy unfolding behind the scenes, one that both curtailed the protests and coordinated the resistance from CEOs. So what they're talking about there is, at the beginning of the article, they're talking about how, you know, a lot of people were anticipating some violence after the elections, regardless of who was declared the winner, whether it was Biden or Trump. They were expecting, you know, violence from the left and or violence from the right. And what they're talking about is there is actually a group of people that they call the secret cabal that worked with CEOs and a bunch of other people to try to stop any of this violence on both sides for protest. And also when what eventually happened with Trump losing, having those same people that like campaigned and backed Trump during the election, essentially turn their back on Trump and say, get out.
Mm-hmm.
And this group, this conspiracy worked to do that on both, you know, on behalf of the American people. I'll put that in quotes as my interpretation of their statement. How about that? Okay.
Yeah.
Here's the next quote that I find interesting. Their work touched every aspect of the election. They got states to change voting systems and laws and helped secure hundreds of millions in public and private funding. There's two components of that I think are very important. They got states to change voting systems. This group of, you know, and they say that they are a group of people from both sides of the party. That's what they say. Now, I would like to see that membership list to tell you how. Because if they say, oh, our Republican members are the Lincoln Project, I'd go, ha, you're funny. Because the Lincoln Project, well, yeah, the Lincoln Project has been having their own little bit of issues in recent days, too. Have you been keeping up on that? So one of the co-founders of the Lincoln Project has been accused of soliciting sex from other men and offering them, you know, positions in of like power in that in exchange for meeting him like in a hotel room in that. That's what he's been accused of. You know, so the guy's married, you know, and he was, you know, messaging guys behind his wife's back and saying, hey, meet me in this hotel room for sex. If you do, you'll get this position sort of deal, you know, promising that sort of thing. Well, it turns out, you know, that could be problematic and look bad in and of itself. Mm-hmm. One of the guys that came forward is like, I was 14 when the guy started texting me. Yeah, exactly. And soliciting me and promising these things. And, you know, obviously he met up with them in a few times, apparently. Yeah, I know.
Talk about the child porn stuff again.
I know. Man. I know. It's amazing how crazy that keeps coming back, right? Now that you hear about it once, it's like, wait, this is happening all over. What the heck? So anyway, so he's under investigation. And so he's kind of stepped down from this now, from the Lincoln Project. And he this was a horrible excuse. And I feel bad, not for him, but for, okay, this sounds weird. I feel bad for gay people because what he did was he said, well, I was fighting. I'm paraphrasing. I'm not going to quote him directly. So don't try to find this direct quote, but essentially he goes, I was fighting who I really was and I wasn't being true to myself, but now I'm a gay man and blah, blah, blah. And that's why I was
messing around
people behind my wife's back. And kids that are and I'm like, that doesn't explain the guy that was 14 when you started.
No.
Okay. It's one thing to, you know, be like, hey, you're cute. Meet me in the bedroom. Yes. You know, that's one thing. Messing around. Yeah. And two consenting adults. It's a whole other thing when it's underage.
Throw a kid in there.
Yep. Completely different thing. And so that's why I said, if some of their supporters in this cabal are from the Lincoln Project, they might have a problem.
Oh, right.
Because this whole Lincoln Project thing is slowly blowing up. Larger and larger and larger it seems like every week now at this point. So we'll see what happens. So the part that, like I said, that got me about this article, they got states to change voting systems. Now, when I say voting systems, like we're talking about the necessarily like the vendor and how they voted, you know, did they move from paper to electronic or whatnot? You know, that sort of thing. But they also got the laws changed.
Yeah.
So they, you know, they influenced all these states and all these places where maybe it was, hey, early voting and absentee voting could be done like if you're elderly or you're, you know, nursing home or you're overseas for, you know, serving in the military, stuff like that, right? To anyone can do that, right? You know how successful they were with that?
Very.
How much is very successful?
Like it happened.
Well, okay, it happened, but percentage-wise, how many ballots were done by mail in 2020?
Ooh, I'm going to shoot below half. I'll say 35.
Too low. 50% of votes in 2020 were done by mail.
Via mail.
A quarter, about 25%, were done early in person. And this is why I said, you know, when you're talking about in line, it went real quick. Mm-hmm. Only about 25% of the votes that were done for, you know, the 2020 election were done in person on election day.
Jeez. Wow.
Way down from what it used to be.
Yeah. Well, gosh. I mean, I'm trying to think of how many. Because they haven't always had early voting either. Have they?
It depends on the location and that.
Okay.
You know, sometimes you need a good excuse to do the early voting thing, like, oh, I'm going to be on a family vacation or a family trip.
around that time.
Yeah.
But, like, that's not just open to public, though.
Well, this year.
It was this last year.
It depends, again. It depends.
Okay.
So that's going to be a county by county, state by state sort of deal. That's not a universal across the board. But so this group, this cabal, as they called themselves, used their influence and their power to change how people voted, on what systems they voted, and the laws under which they voted. And then they helped secure money to fund these changes as well.
Mm.
So here's another quote from there. "That's why the participants want the secret history of the 2020 election told, even though it sounds like a paranoid fever dream. A well-funded cabal of powerful people ranging across industries and ideologies working together behind the scenes to influence perceptions, change rules and laws, steer media coverage, and control the flow of information. They were not rigging the election, they were fortifying it. And they believe the public needs to understand the system's fragility in order to ensure that democracy in America endures." There's a couple things in there I want to point out.
Mm-hmm.
Worked together to influence perceptions. That right there is bad enough, because that's kind of manipulating, like, kind of how you view candidates and mm-hmm. that. We already talked about changing the rules and the laws of voting. Because before, it wasn't you could just mail and vote. It was you had to have a legitimate reason to mail and vote.
Right.
Steer media coverage. That is ridiculous in all regards.
Yeah, that doesn't...
To say we are going to manipulate what the media does and doesn't cover and say we're not biased in one way or the other, doesn't sit comfortably with me. You can't steer the media coverage and say you're not biased, because you're steering it one way or the other.
Right. You have to. Yeah.
And the fact that they say, and control the flow of information. What information are you trying to control? And that's the thing. It's like, okay. And if you read down further in the article, they're like, well, anything that says that the election may be stolen, we want to, da, 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 and that's the thing. Mm-hmm. You know, you read down through the article, you read that some of these people went to, like, Mark Zuckerberg's house, right? Who is he? Facebook,
yeah,
right?
Facebook guy, yeah.
They also went to the CEO of Twitter, you know, to their house as well for dinner. And essentially, they said, hey, we need to find a way to block this information. Because, and the reason they said that is, let's say you say something controversial on Twitter or Facebook, right? Let's say you say, I don't know. Whatever, you know, take something that Trump said, okay? Mm-hmm. Something that was bombastic, maybe a little controversial, maybe a little bit weird, right? Well, the algorithms, the way they're written, they promote that content because, you know, let's say, you know, again, Trump, he says something. A bunch of people write in response to it, like, hey, you're an idiot, blah, 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 and, you know, just disregarding it. But the algorithm, it doesn't care what you write. It knows.
It got attention.
It got attention and goes, oh, this is popular. Let's promote this. As soon as you promote it, more people seeing it, which means more people are commenting it, which means it's more popular, which means it's a bad cycle. It's a cycle like when I talk about depression, that negative self cycle, where when you get into a bad thought and it just keeps going and going and going, it's the same thing, except this time now with, social media feeds.
Ugh. Yeah.
So Quinn, these people, when they went to Zuckerberg's in that house, they essentially are like, the more engagement something gets, the more platforms boost it. We don't want that.
Ugh, yeah. Yeah.
Now, here's the scary part. One of those people that went to Zuckerberg's house and is like, hey, you shouldn't be doing this. We don't want this. You need to suppress the content on the platforms. She is nominated to be the Associate Attorney General for Biden.
That's dangerous.
So that is very dangerous as that goes forward.
Huh? So we don't know everybody that's in this group.
At least not in this article, it doesn't list. Now, there might be a list somewhere, but I haven't found one. Again, it's a cabal, as they put it.
Yeah.
Which could always bring back Aaron's Word of the Week on this one.
Oh, gosh.
What is a cabal, Aaron?
I'm guessing a group of unknown people, but...
Pretty much.
Yeah.
A secret political clique or faction. So if it's a cabal and it's known, it wouldn't be a cabal. If it's a cabal and unknown, then it's a cabal.
Right.
If that makes sense.
Yeah.
I think it's really dangerous. The fact that this group decided it was up to them and it was on them to, as they say, steer media coverage and control the flow of information. Again, yeah. I am giving you quotes from the article, so that way YouTube or whoever doesn't go, well, you were misconstruing the information. This is what the article author wrote.
Mm-hmm. Which
also brings me to the next sentence of that article.
Yeah.
When they say they're controlling the flow and steering the media, they were not rigging the election, they were fortifying it. Everything that you have talked about up until this point is not a fortification. It is a rig, a manipulation, change the course and flow to fit our agenda.
Mm-hmm.
That's a rig, not a fortification. A fortification is these platforms are neutral. You have to keep the free speech, even though it may be objectionable to your sensibilities. Fortification is we want everyone to vote legally. But obviously, I cannot say with an ID because that apparently is racist, as I've learned, Gina Carano, or however you say her name, has learned as well.
Yeah.
You know, saying that. Fortifying the election would be saying, keep the media on the real news, not you media, you can cover this, media, you can't cover this, media, you can cover this, media, yeah. You can't cover this.
Yeah.
Fortifying the election is not influencing perceptions and changing perceptions on how people see things.
Right.
Fortifying the election is not changing rules and laws at the last minute to fit your agenda on how you want things to go.
But that's what supposedly happened.
Oh, no, that's not what supposedly happened. That's what is happening. And that's the thing. People go, well, hey, that's showing some rigging of the election. And people are like, no. It's a fortification. It's not a rig. It's a fortification.
So they're just trying to change the definition.
Oh, wait. We've been doing that forever.
Exactly. Which I don't understand why we'd do that anyway. But or why that's done. So I guess because of that, I would say like Facebook, Twitter, and all of them should definitely get some pretty good knockback at them for letting stuff like that happen.
I would agree with you 100%, but guess what? They're not. They're doubling down instead on their stuff. Now, the good thing is, I guess you could say the good thing, since the November election, they've also been doubling down on that and also impacting those on the more left side of the political spectrum as well. So they've been knocking some of those people offline as well, saying, we don't want your opinions and your thoughts on our space anymore. Because now that the election's over, bye-bye, you're no longer useful.
Yeah.
Essentially.
So I remember, I was watching a Tim Pool episode, and he was talking about how, obviously conservative channels are being, like, targeted and stuff like that and trying to be taken down, or, like, they're not allowed on Facebook kind of thing, and Twitter and YouTube is going to take them down.
To be fair, some of that is Tim Pool trying to raise his own subscription revenue.
Well, I'm saying that, yeah, he is talking about he's trying to get that website going and whatever. But then he also added, he's like, but it's like, it's not just the right side, though. He said, no, they're coming after people on the left, too. So it's like almost no one's safe in a sense. So it's like, I guess whoever ends up being safe, are those people the ones that we have to check out and see what's going on behind the scenes or what?
Yeah, no idea on that one. Because the things going behind the scene are, like they said, they're being done in secret. They've been done in secret for years now. At least, and especially this past year. You know, mm-hmm. The idea for this started, I think he said he got the idea for it like in 2019, when he was starting to study. So the guy who organized it, Let's back up here.
Organize this.
The organized this secret cabal.
Okay.
The guy who organized this essentially worked for various political organizations. He worked with the AFL-CIO, and he helped run various left-wing democratic political strategies and that. And he started this in 2019. Is like, hey, I need to find a way to, as he put it, fortify the election. Obviously, he didn't want a Trump victory.
Right.
You know, obviously, if you're working on the Democratic side, more likely, you're not going to want a Trump. There's even a lot of people on the right-hand side who said, no, I don't want a Trump victory at all, period. Mm-hmm. And they were able to do whatever they were doing with that. But he got together people to start doing this sort of thing. And the guy who's doing this, his name is Mike Podhorzer.
Hmm.
Podhorzer. Again, I am horrible with names, so when I mispronounce a name, I am completely sorry. So he was a senior advisor to the president of the AFL-CIO, and do you know what that is?
Mm-mm.
That's the nation's largest union federation. So it has a lot of data and all that. And it said that in the past, he's helped the AFL-CIO marshal the latest tactics and data to help its favored candidates win elections. That's what he does. Okay, that's, you know, he helps candidates get elected. So obviously, if he's doing this to fortify, whatever elected position is going to be fortified will win, you know.
Right.
Which is what he wanted to do. So that is one of the things that has just been going on. And it's funny because you read this article and you're like, I can't believe that something like this could be happening. And no one's like, and people can read and just be like, oh, that's cool. It kept Trump from being elected. It's like, no, hello, whoop, stop. If this was on the right-hand side and you had a group of people, wealthy people, powerful people, influencing the media to make sure that their person is elected, right now it's Biden. Biden is like the little puppy dog that they want in the office for now. When Biden no longer serves their purpose, who are they going to want? And then at that point, it doesn't matter who we want as the American people. It's who they want. Because who are they going to manipulate the mainstream media for? Who are they going to manipulate the social media feeds for? Who are they going to change the influence of how they are appearing? Perceived and appearing in the all over the world, all over the U.S. Them.
Oh my gosh. Why is this even allowed to be a thing?
Because they technically are not a PAC giving money to a particular candidate. Instead, they're just giving money to various lawmakers to get their agenda pushed through the law. You know, when you want to push something through law, there's a couple ways you can do it. You can either, A, you know, spend some money to get a politician to sign on to do what you want to do, or B, if you want our politician to sign on to what you do, you include what's called pork in your package.
Called what?
Pork.
Okay, so I thought you said, I was like,
yeah. So like, look at our latest, you know, coronavirus relief check thing, you know, where they're like, okay, the $1,400 bucks thing. But they said, oh, but in order to get this passed, we're going to have to include all this other pork in it. All these other things are not related to the $1,400.
Yeah.
And those are that's getting put into it. So that's how you get our politician on board.
Yeah.
But this group, they're able to go to a company and say, or not a company, a politician, and be like, hey, buddy. Hey, Aaron, if you're a politician.
Nope.
We're gonna take you out for dinner. We're going to buy you the best of steaks. And, you know, send you and the wife on that trip to Cancun. And,
oh, wow.
You know,
that's where Ted Cruz's kids are. I don't want to go there.
You know, do all that stuff and be like, oh, and by the way, as we're sending you, just so you know, we would like it if, you know, you got this mail-in voting thing put into practice. Thanks. Obviously, it's not that blatant. There are laws that say it cannot be that blatant. Obviously, yeah. But people who work in that line of business
should know.
Are like me. They know how to skirt around the word of the law and bypass the intent of the law.
Right.
So they can just skirt around and stay right in the legal. Do everything that's still considered legal, but the spirit of the law is broken. And all of a sudden, that's interesting. They're getting some money that they shouldn't be getting. And they're pushing through legislation that probably shouldn't be pushed through.
Right. That's frustrating. I guess if you do something that nice for me, though, I could just return a simple little favor, though, right? Like,
yep.
That's okay. Right?
Right. So what I find...
Just a friend helping a friend.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of friend helping a friend, this is in the article too.
Oh,
I find it interesting. Okay. And again, I am quoting. Again, this is why I said everything about this is so weird. About a week before Election Day, Podhorzer received an unexpected message. The U.S. Chamber of Commerce wanted to talk. The AFL-CIO and the Chamber have a long history of antagonism. Though neither organization is explicitly partisan, the influential business lobby has poured hundreds of millions of dollars into Republican campaigns, just as the nation's unions funnel hundreds of millions to Democrats. One side is labor, on the other management, locked in eternal struggle for power and resources. But behind the scenes, the business community was engaged in its own anxious discussions about how the election and its aftermath might unfold. The summer's radical justice protest had sent a signal to business owners, too, the potential for economy-disrupting civil disorder. So because of potential civil unrest, the Chamber of Commerce essentially said, hey, what are you guys doing? We're going to help you.
Oh.
Exactly. And you know how you were asking, hey, can we know who was all part of this?
Yeah.
They're refusing to name like who set up the arrangements for the two groups to meet in that because they don't want those names disclosed. So again, comes back to this whole, we want our story told, but we don't want to tell you who's in it. We want our story told, but we don't want to let you know how we did things. We want our story told, but there's always that but. There is always that but.
Man, I wish we could make a movie out of this.
You know, I'm sure there will be
one day
a movie about this showing up, you know, in the future about this. Maybe Gina Carano can star in it.
Right. Hey, there's a movie idea, Ben, and all you people at the Daily Wire.
Hey, there you go.
Get on it. Get these facts.
Yeah, so go on.
Yeah, I don't know. Again, as it's been talked about in another episode or the last one, whatever. I wish is there any way to like keep these people in power like accountable in any way? Because it's like you can't find. Well, if they don't want their names out there, they're not going to get out there unless somebody goes in and does some dirty work and puts their livelihood, potentially life, at risk of releasing information on these people.
Well, there are organizations out there where if, you know, someone is part of, you know, one of these, part of the cabal, let's say, and it's like, hey, I'm done with this. I need to clear my conscience. I need to reveal the truth about it. There are places they can go to.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that being said, even our news media has become so politicized. You know, you're either on the left or you're on the right.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying either side's the best side because there isn't anyone who truly tries to be objective anymore. It's like, oh, nope, we're going to spin it to the right. We're going to spin it to the left. Everyone does. Let's put all cards on the table. Bias is there, whether you like it or not.
Yeah.
So, you know, there are, like I said, there are organizations that you can go to and, you know, you go to the wrong organization, they'll go, no. But you go to... like somewhere like Project Veritas or something like that, you know, they will definitely take that data and be like, boom, and throw it out there. Mm-hmm. The guy, was it James O'Keefe? He is not afraid to just say, all right, look, I got my leaked data. Like, he has released leaked documents and leaked videos from Facebook internal meetings recently.
Oof.
You know, where Facebook and Twitter and all that have, you know, been caught saying some pretty damaging things about how, like, this censorship that they're doing in the U.S. is only the beginning of what they're going to do around the world and all this other stuff. And it's just, it's a little crazy. And you know where they got some of these ideas for how some of the censorship from this little cabal group. Yep.
So is, I guess my question is, the this group that's in this cabal or whatever, is it just U.S. people or is it people outside of the U.S.?
They're not saying. Again, they want their story to be told, but they don't want to reveal who's all in it.
I don't like any of that. Because depending on who's in it, could tell where things could go more.
Yeah. So it was going to be, it's an interesting read. You need to read it all the way through. And, you know, you could see the obvious spins in parts of the article. And it was great listening to even Tim Pool call out the article and saying, you're telling me there is a cabal and you're telling me that there wasn't anything nefarious going on behind the scenes. He's like, are you clinically stupid?
Right.
I don't think he used those exact words. I was paraphrasing him. and I agree with that. You know, if you tell me there's a cabal who is managing how information is routed, how perceptions are done, and what the media covers, I go, what? You know, there was that big, there was always this big question last year among some people, like, why isn't anything about Hunter Biden and going to China being covered in the news and that?
Mm-hmm.
You have the cabal to think. Because right after Biden got sworn in, guess what? All of a sudden, it's all coming back up now.
Right.
It's like, oh, we don't have to hide it anymore. Hello?
I'm really curious as to what, like, other countries' news programs are like then, as far as what they show. I don't know if it was, now granted, this isn't like what the, like, this isn't the new, well, maybe, I don't know, the news choosing what it wants to be shown, but it was someone from the World Health Organization, like, hung up on a call it had to do with, like, Taiwan. Ones being involved with the World Health Organization or something like that.
Oh, yeah. And the Taiwanese reporter asked, hey, will you
consider
at least recognizing Taiwan?
Yeah. And the dude just.
He goes, I couldn't hear your question. Could you repeat that question? And then she repeats it. And then
she was going to repeat it, but then he said, no, let's go on to the next one. He wanted to go on to a different question.
Yeah. But then she did repeat it. And then he hung up.
Well, yeah, because she wanted to talk more about Taiwan, just more of the case for Taiwan.
Yep.
And then once he heard that, she wanted to keep going on about Taiwan. He's like, no.
Yeah. And there's a whole thing behind that, but that isn't so much a cabal thing.
No.
That's a China thing.
Yeah. No, yeah, that's it's a Chinese thing. But I'm just like, I guess, I don't know, for the news or whatever, like, they obviously probably didn't plan on that happening. But here, like, there would be no chance of something like that being seen because of the cabal monitoring what is shown out in the news. Because what was the other thing that I guess is good that I have seen on the news was the defense guy for Trump or whatever was on the news. And this one gal was just talking about how, like, hey, so, like, pretty much evidence that you want to use against, use for the case to help Trump is this, what's the word that they used for it? Well, one was like changing the, Twitter authentication check mark thing. One, there was like a date being changed, and then something about like the, like, self-edited, like, videos or evidence kind of thing. And he was just like, I'm glad that I guess he was able to fight back on that, saying, like, that's not enough evidence to help with something, I guess, to make a case on. Like, there's, I don't know. It's, I'm glad some stuff like that, I guess, makes it on the news because they can't control all of it.
Right.
But it makes me nervous if that's what they're trying to do.
Well, like some of the goals of this cabal, right? One of the goals was they want to convince people that they would not know who won on the night of the election, that they would have to wait an extended period of time. That was one of their goals.
Which happened.
Yep. And they even said that they succeeded because in late October, over 70% of people said that they were expecting a prolonged wait for to find out who won the election. They also, this group also used the Voting Rights Lab and Into Action, and they created state-specific memes and graphics spread by email, text, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok, urging that every vote be counted. Together, these items were viewed more than 1 billion times. Protect Democracy's Election Task Force issued reports and held media briefings with high-profile experts across the political spectrum, and they said that this resulted in widespread coverage of potential election issues and fact-checking of Trump's false claims. Again, fact-check what they want, fact-check. You know, they didn't fact, you know, how dare we fact-check Biden and his latest town hall in Milwaukee. I don't know if you saw that or not.
I've seen very small snippets.
So one of the things he said is like, when I came to office, we had no vaccine. We had
no vaccine.
And then someone...
Back in December.
Yeah, so someone...
He was getting vaccinated.
Yeah, I know, but someone fact-checked that, right? And they said, well, he didn't misspeak. He had a stutter, and because of his stutter, it came out sounding like it did. To which I then go, okay, but back when he was running his election, he said, I don't stutter, and stutter does not account for making factual mistakes. And there's a video of him in an interview saying that. So I'm like, so which one is it?
Right.
Did he have a stutter, and because the stutter came out wrong, or does he have a stutter, and that does not change the factual representation of what he's saying, and therefore, I wouldn't say he's lying. I would not say that he's lying. I would say more probably along he has some forgetfulness. Mm-hmm. You know, he's an older man,
right?
You know, I'm approaching 40, and even me, I have forgetful times. But
oh, I'm 25, and I have forgetful times.
But so. I mean, at that old age, you would expect there'd be times when it'd be like, "Where am I?"
What? Yeah. Well, didn't he get asked that or something? He's like, "What?" He was getting asked, like, what's it feel like or whatever to be, I don't know if it was like to be president or whatever, to live in the White House. And he says, it's almost like he tried to make a joke out of it, but he wakes up in the morning and says to us, like, where the hell are we? And it's just like, do you actually mean that or is that supposed to be
I'm sure
funny?
He was probably trying to make a joke and
it just landed bad.
You know, it's like someone who has a very deadpan expression and delivers a very dry joke in an area that does not expect a dry joke, and it just...
It does not go well at all.
And I think that's what happened.
Yeah, because I'd understand like how you would say that in a moment like that, because it's like it's so unreal to think that you're where you're at. It's like, what? So I get that, but I'm like, yeah, that was a terrible... Probably not the best way to put it with what people are kind of, I guess, associating with Joe Biden being forgetful and not knowing stuff.
Yeah.
It does not make him look good.
But, oh, I know. I know. So, yes, if you have not had a chance yet to read this Time article, I mean, go and read it. And you could see where they kind of twist some of their biases, you know, where they're like, oh, how dare the Republicans come and watch while votes were counted in Michigan. And, you know, they're pretty much belittling that sort of stuff. And they're like, look, we are so equal in our representation that we even have a rabid Trump voter. That's how they describe the person.
A rabid Trump voter.
And it's just like, you can't just say a Trump voter. You have to say
that. That has something in it to make it look bad.
Well, of course. I mean, why not? We always have to make everything look bad, Mr. Johnson. Even if it's the truth, we have to manipulate it.
Gotta make it look evil.
We need to make the truth look exactly like we want it to be. And you wonder why people keep going, is it 1983 yet?
We'll be right back.